Shalom, everyone. Tonight is readings in relation to the second seal, and most of the readings are going to be in the supplements. I'm going to start here in the only issue. The only issue is the formation of the communities of light. Other issues are the effect, not the cause. The cause is the unfulfilled basic needs of individuals to be in a community with other like-minded people, and the lack of creation of basic relationships in this level. These communities cannot exist separately from one another. By linking themselves together, they also will create the power to influence the events and correct the problems. The ecological and pollution problems cannot be solved unless we spread the factories evenly all throughout the earth, especially to the deserts and isolated places, and also by developing clean industries by using science based on spirit. This will only be revealed to humanity if we learn our lessons and share. Otherwise, this knowledge will be misused, as has occurred in the past, and the misuse of anything results in suffering. Intellectuals, who can only exist based on the confusion of the masses, bring many issues into our minds and make us confused about the simple issue of our basic needs and the cause of the issues. Then we become lost in the jungle of these confused issues and do not see the simple solutions. Therefore, do not let the many issues confuse you. The issue and solution is the formation of the communities of light based on the eternal divine path and networking between them. Then we can solve the other issues, which are the effects. The second supplement I'll read is, there should not be any secrets in the communities of light. The whole idea of knowing the self is to reach a point where our three personalities, what we think we are, what other people think we are, and what we truly are, become one, God. Of course, the very reason that what we think we are and what we really are is different is that we do not really want to know ourselves. When we truly know ourselves, what we think we are and what we really are become one. The reason that what we are is different than what other people think we are is that other people do not know themselves either. Therefore, they look at us through their personality, not their essence, and so their perception is colored with their personality. Wrong understandings, cultures, past experiences, etc. Most probably, therefore, what they see is different than what we really are. In the case of how other people see us, we have less control than in the case of how we see ourselves. We can close the gap between who we are and what we think we are by knowing the self. Then, of course, we can also clearly see who other people truly are. The essence, God. The only way we can help others to see themselves and others as they truly are is to guide them to know themselves so they can also see us as we truly are. Communities of light are a great help in accelerating this process of knowing oneself. As it is clearly proven, man does not want to know the self and does not want to face who he really is. Others, however, can see another person better than they can see themselves. As a person has to be open to the self, and there should not be any hidden secrets between him and the self so that he can truly know himself, there should also not be hidden secrets in a community. What we try to hide from other people are things we are trying to hide from ourselves. If we are not willing to face these hidden behaviors, and if we are also unwilling to let the community know them, then these behaviors will be hidden from us forever, and we will never truly know the self, God. In fact, a great function in the communities of light is that everyone is an open book to everyone else. In this process of knowing one another, we can help each other to know ourselves. Since others are much better at seeing us, or at least identifying our faults, than we are at seeing ourselves, others in the community can help us to know ourselves. Indeed, one of the functions of the community unity meeting on Saturdays is for others to point out where we can improve ourselves in the communities of light. if we are not willing to see ourselves and do not let others point us to where we can improve, we will never know ourselves. Besides the personal privacy, what we do in our rooms and our houses, which should not be immoral, whatever else that affects the community should be an open book to everyone in the community of light. The community should help each individual to progress to become a better and more productive member in that community. If an individual in the community resists this process, he or she is not community material. Either they have to change this resistance, or they will not last long in a community of light. Also, there should not be any secrets in a marriage. The rules above go beyond the communities of light in this case, as the wife and husband can further help one another to progress and become one, since they are together even in their private quarters. In all cases, each individual should have the best intentions to help the other individual or individuals. They should also be open themselves to the input from other people so they can also see their deeper motives. The whole process should make everyone have deeper meditation on who they really are and so become their essence. They should be open with no hidden secrets and or agenda. Hidden agenda is a disease itself. And the next thing I'll read is also from supplements, and it's called Divine System. A system from divines, by divines, and for divines. The world seems to be mostly divided into two camps, those who promote democracy and those who are under dictators. Each of them claims their system is better. However, both are man-made. In democracy, man chooses his leader, and in dictatorship, the gun does the job. Dictatorship is obviously a system under the gun, and so is a system under duress. Neither man nor God is in charge, but the dictator. This system is the most appalling to God. It is neither acceptable to man nor to God. In democracy, man is in charge. They choose the leaders. What the majority says is supposed to be the will of the society. If the majority can be persuaded to accept and approve ideas that are not based on nature and or godly, still they are accepted and implemented. Therefore, again, God is not in charge. Man is. God created the system of judges for the children of Israel. However, they longed for kings like their neighbors. Samuel conveyed this desire to God. After God forewarned them of what would happen if they chose kings, he then let them choose their king. With a majority vote, they chose Saul. They did not choose him because he was the wisest and most connected, godly, but because he was tall and handsome. God rejected their choice and chose a man named David to be their king, ordinary to the eyes, but highly connected to spirit. He was the anointed one. This idea to choose the anointed one, Christ, is the base for many cultures to accept the idea of the king, chosen by God. Even those nations, mostly Greece, Rome, and Europe, that started democratic ideas, did eventually succumb to the idea of the king, and went back and forth between democracy and kingship. However, all through history, all over the world, the kings eventually become dictators, as God forewarned the children of Israel that they would. The reason for returning to the kings after being under the democratic rule is that the will of the people becomes corrupt and they choose not the leaders with the highest ideals and those chosen by God, but the ones who will make them feel good and accept their ideas, but are rejected by God. As we saw in the case of choosing Saul, they do not always choose wisely. When they reach a point that they choose wrong leaders, then the head will be sick. And when the head is sick, so will be the body, society. They eventually long for stability and safety, and so they choose dictators who eventually become kings, etc. Therefore, God is not in favor of what man chooses, and he is not in the favor of the dictators who impose their will on humans under duress. So what does God approve of and is the best for man? He has clearly shown his way when he instructed the children of Israel to have judges over them who were supposed to be connected to God. The judges failed and became disconnected from God. The children of Israel wanted kings, and they chose the wrong king, not anointed. After their chosen king failed, God decided to let them have their king, who was also connected to him and follows his will. This is the best for man and the universal setup. He chose David for them, who became the best leader they ever had. This idea of the chosen one, Christ, to be accepted as the king is not new. In fact, we read in the Bible that Melchizedek not only was the king of Salem, but the high priest. The very idea of the Pope in the Catholic Church is also choosing a leader who is connected to God. The idea of Caliph in Islam is also based on this idea, a person who has been chosen to lead the Ummah, or the community of all Muslims. There are many other cultures that also had the same idea. Now the question arises, if all these people and cultures had this idea before, why did it not work, and why should we follow a failed idea? That is an excellent question. The short answer to this is that humanity did not have the whole truth, and so no matter what religion and idea they followed, it was only a part of a greater truth. When a good idea is based on 1/7 or less of a larger truth, it will not work. Also, God had left man to make his own decisions for the last 12,000 years. With all these shortcomings and missing information, humans chose wrong leaders and or lost their rights to the dictators who had the armies with them. It is like having 1/7 of the layout for a house and trying to build the whole house. No matter how well the intentions, it will not work. Many people have this idea, but they are also flooded with dogmas, separating ideas, and plain hostility toward others, or others are hostile toward them, etc. They could not present God in its fullness, and so the grace was not with them. When the grace is not present, the failure is assured. As we saw in the case of Saul, humans follow their eyes and the cultural norms, not God's will. So they chose wrong leaders, not the anointed one. Of course, even if they could have chosen the anointed one, as they did in the case of King Cyrus, who also was called Christ, still such leaders could only have a partial influence on earth events and in a very limited sense. So we can see many conditions had to be met before humanity is able to choose the right leaders and so bring the greatest acceleration of salvation to man. These conditions are: 1. The whole truth should have been revealed. 2. Paraviparas had to be created and united. 3. A system that helps the anointed one to emerge from the people, by the people, and for the people, and connected to God, divine, has to be accepted by man. 4. The cyclical movements and the effects of different types of humans on societies should have been understood. These conditions are now on earth. We indeed have the new heaven, revelation, and earth, divine system for humanity. This is the stone that the Bible has predicted to come and hit the image King Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. The image, worldly setups, was broken to pieces and was no more. Humanity now has the whole truth. The seven seals are opened. The elects are called to come forward and be united. The hierarchy from the communities of light is in formation, a system from divines, by divines, and for divines. The cyclical movements in society and in history and societies are revealed. Paraviparas will observe the society and will transfer these cyclical movements to the new one in transitory, harmonic ways instead of violent ways. It is from these communities and system that the benevolent leaders, anointed ones, will emerge. The system also has strong checks and balances to prevent any one leader to become a dictator. This new way has all the benefits of the present systems and none of the weaknesses which are present in them. The leaders are not chosen by the whim of those who will follow their eyes, but by those who are the eternal divine path in the communities of light, and so are in higher consciousness. Others, who are not in the communities of light, are not left out and are given opportunities to participate in the process. However, their impact is not as severe as before. The most important part of this divine system is the ability of humans to recognize and choose those who are anointed by God to lead them, especially the eldest, the head. He then can extend the power that is given to him in our system to choose others who also are anointed to help him to manage God's kingdom. So we can see that those who are still attached to the old earthly systems and are trying to make them work are wasting their time and energy and will not succeed. It is a new day and it is God's day. So humans have to eventually acknowledge that God indeed has fulfilled all things he promised he would do. It is time to stop our understandings and succumb to God's will and his ways. The stone has come, the statue has been completed, and it is time for the statue to be broken to pieces. This again is the call to man to come and marvel on what God has done. Those who resist, they resist God. God will always win at the end. The sooner humans realize this, the sooner we can bring peace, unity, and God's will for this creation to manifestation. The next passage I will read is a little on a different note. It's also in supplements. It's called Why God Commanded Us to Eat Kosher Food and Avoid Eating Unclean Food. Unclean animals, as categorized in the Bible, are usually scavengers. Even if they are not scavengers, they are all somehow helpful to nature. They eat garbage, dead animals, toxic wastes, and things considered to be unclean. These make them unsuitable for human consumption. They are very helpful in cleaning the earth from wastes, weak animals to promote stronger breeds, and toxins. The reasons why we should not eat them are, first, they are not good for us. God did not create them for human consumption. They are much more tamasic than kosher foods, even kosher meat. Second, by eating them we take the animals that are created to clean or help the earth away from their duty and accelerate polluting and destroying the earth. It is like firing the garbage collectors and cleaning crew in a city and expecting a clean city. It will not work. The garbage, toxins, pollution, etc., will pile up in that city, and disease and death will follow. Destroying these animals will have the same effect. Therefore, even if you do not eat unclean animals because they are not good for you, you should not eat them because they are good for the earth. Those who want an unpolluted earth should realize this and help the process by following a kosher diet. They should also make others aware of these facts and encourage them to follow this advice. Although kosher animals might eat toxic materials and become toxic, they will never become as toxic as unclean animals that eat mostly garbage or toxins. We should stop polluting the earth as much as we can. We also should give nature a fighting chance to eradicate any pollutions or waste we make. Polluting the earth and taking the animals that clean it out of circulation is an act of double jeopardy. We surely will destroy the earth and ourselves at an accelerated rate if we continue this course. The clean animals, on the other hand, are made to be eaten. They help very little in cleaning and healing the earth. Even in this regard, we should eat meat much less than the other food categories, vegetables, grains, etc., that God has created for us. When God commands humans to do something, it is good for them and the universe. However, now in the age to come, the human should understand the reason behind these commandments. It is then that they will follow them because they realize it is good, God, for them and their lives. They will then praise the praiseworthy, God, for his wisdom and creation. There is always a good God reason behind his requests and commandments. And to finish off the reading, I'm going to move to Mount Zion and Zion, an explanation of the system. And I'm going to start in Tablet 2. Tablet 2. There are three kingdoms of heaven. As it is shown in the greatest sign, there are three kingdoms of heaven. One kingdom is symbolized by the two great triangles together in the middle of the greatest sign, with the symbol of Hari Om Shri Hung in its center. This is the kingdom of heaven in heaven. This kingdom has already been established. The sign or seal of Solomon, the sign used by Jews, is the symbol of the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is the same as Mount Zion, or the triangle upwards, and Zion, or the triangle downwards, together, the Star of David. The third is the sign of the kingdom of heaven within, or the sign of Paravipras. Paravipras are those who follow the greatest sign and become it, follow the eternal divine path. They are the ones who struggle with God to bring the whole universe to pure consciousness. When it is realized that the king of all these three kingdoms is he, then these three kingdoms become one and according to his will. Then the peace and tranquility will come to humanity, and all things will be directed toward the goal of life and creation, which is to become divine. God is the only true king of these three kingdoms, whether humans accept it or not. The true king of these three kingdoms of heaven, in heaven, on earth, and within, is he. It truly does not make any difference if humans accept this truth or not. Only by this being accepted can man walk in his ways and his flow and bring happiness and tranquility to all. Otherwise, God will continue to guide and direct his universe toward its goal, but because of the resistance of humans to follow him, they will suffer in the process of change and progress. As it is described in the book The Kingdom of Heaven on Earth, the duration of class domination and consequent progress will continue regardless of human existence. But if this process is understood, and true leaders, Paravipras, with universal views guide this process, tranquility will come to humanity and its progress will be in an evolutionary manner. So the suffering from resistance to change will be eliminated. Read Kingdom of Heaven on Earth. Also, the kingdom of heaven within comes with the reality. Let me read that. Also, the kingdom of heaven within comes when the reality beyond this universe is recognized and the goal of life is understood by each individual. The goal is to become divine and help others to become divine also. So the mind will be directed toward God and Spirit, and that is when peace of mind and tranquility within will be established. Only by directing all of one's life toward God through self-realization and by pursuing the true goal of life, which is to manifest God's qualities, divinity, and do His will, can individual happiness, grace, be realized. That is when a person knows he is not his body and that his soul is a part of the universe. So God is the only subject of worship and the giver of salvation. He is the king and director of this universe, and he is the only way to happiness and tranquility, individually or collectively. This is true whether man accepts it or not. If it is accepted and his ways are followed, there will be peace for humanity. If not, there will be suffering. But in any case, he guides the universe and earth and is its king. So the struggle of humanity and him and his ways, with his grace, and to follow them in order to reach peace and tranquility. And that concludes the reading. Shalom, everyone.